Thank you for tuning in to the Sarita House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Good morning, guys. This morning, while we were at prayer, one of the things that God brought to us was we were just discussing family and just how good God is to take care of our families, regardless of whether they're our kids or grandkids, maybe our sisters and brothers, whoever they may be. And I was just noticing that in my office, I have a little reminder that says, if you want to change the world, go home and love your family. And I think that's where God would have us start. You know, it starts at home. And so just a reminder this morning, wherever you are and whoever your family is, love them up, talk to them, let them know you're there. We have to make a difference, and it starts at home. Where's Rosie? And also, God said, tell Rosie to love Pastor Henry a little more. I think Pastor Henry gets loved a little too much by Rosie. So if you guys will all stand with me and we'll pray. And Father God, we just come to you this morning, Lord. We do thank you, Lord, for those that are in our lives, Lord. I thank you for us husbands and the beautiful wives that you've put in our lives, Lord. And for the ladies, Lord, that you have gifted us to love them, Lord, just like your word says, that we would love them like you love the church. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Help us to give of ourselves, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that a family can be anyone, Lord. And we thank you for those that you've gathered as a family. Even how about now? Yeah. Okay. So thank you, Lord, for the family that you've surrounded us with, Lord. And we bless what you're going to do this morning, Lord. We bring you praise. We bring you worship, Lord. We bring you the word, Lord, that your word comes forth, Lord, from Pastor Henry, Lord, and that you would be blessed with all that we do this day. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And don't forget this microphone. We're going to put batteries in it, and it's here for you.
What are you making room for in your life? What are you making room for, right? See, God is a God, just like we sang in the last song. God is a God who can change lives, who can change the course of the direction our own life goes in. He can change so many things. But I love this song all the time because it talks about breaking down the walls of tradition. When I first heard this song, I remember thinking, why did somebody write a song like that? Like, shouldn't we already be making room for God? But that's the thing, right? See, we can place things not even intentionally sometimes of more importance in our life, right? I don't know if I can feel this or something. Even our kids, right? But God, if we would be willing to give it all, see, there's blessing on it. He'll bless every part. Yeah. He wants you to give every bit so that he can have his hands upon it, right? See, whew, God's got so much. Woo. You think when things go wrong and things get crazy that that he doesn't understand, but he understands better than anybody, because sometimes those things were placed in your life for a reason. They were placed in your life to redirect you back to something so much more important. They were placed in your life for your own good. See, God always knows what he's doing. He always knows where he's taking you. See, it's us who doesn't see the path ahead, but it's him who sees every single part, every piece, everything that's coming your way, everything that maybe you think is a struggle. He knows every single part. See, and he is able, willing, and ready to step in every part of it. Let me be there. Let me give you what you need. Let me equip you with things that you need. Let me give you rest in a time that you feel is so much trouble. Let me give you peace when you feel like you don't know what to do. Let me give you all of the blessings that I want to pour on you. See, that's what he wants to do in our life. So, yeah, making some room is the best choice that we can make. Realizing that prioritizing him, the things that he has, the things he wants to give us, the relationship, the time, the communion with him, that they are the best thing that we can do in our life. Absolutely. God has the ability to change everything.
How much does God love you?
Come on, man.
Anybody in this house feel like they're loved today?
Come on, praise God. Come on, man. Hallelujah.
You know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? And his son died for our sins. How much love does that take to die for our sins? Then he gave us a measure of faith so that we could love him back.
Yeah, come on.
And with that faith, the Lord told me one day, he says, faith is the surfactant of God. And if you don't know what surfactant is, it's like soap. And that faith starts cleansing us from our sins. It starts giving us that feeling to do better and to follow his word. Faith is that soap that cleanses us. So once we start doubting, once we first start stepping out of that faith, things start happening. Today I saw in here people with faith, they had technical difficulties, but nobody was freaking out. Everybody was calm.
Come on.
And they got through those technical difficulties. And that's what we need. Faith. God can take care of anything.
Yes.
We just place it in his hands. Right?
Hallelujah.
How many
yes,
of you
Lord.
Have... You could have died in several times
you.
During your life. But God said, no, I'm not done with you. I'm still ready to use you as a vessel. If you are still alive, he still has something for you to do for him. We have to remember how much he loves us. And I don't care how old you are, he still wants to use you.
Come on.
Thank you.
Praise God. Oh, how he loves us. Jesus told the Samaritan woman at the well, he told her, he goes, the Father is looking for those to worship him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Truth is, he loves us. Truth is, hallelujah, he gave his son for us. Hallelujah. And he's worthy of all our praise and all our glory. Hallelujah. All the glory we can have. Father, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, glory to God. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Those of you, hallelujah. If you want to keep worshiping, man. Hey, hallelujah.
Thank you, worship team. You guys did good today, man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I guess I'm in a series because the Lord keeps giving me, this is the, what we're talking about is the visible, invisible kingdom of God. And it's important that we as his children, as citizens of the kingdom, it's important that we be visible operating in the kingdom. Can you say amen to that? I mean, you know, I don't think God is raising up closet Christians. Do you know what I mean? I think he's calling you in the closet so you can come out of the closet and let the glory of the Lord be in your life around wherever you go. Can you say amen to that? I believe his glory is going to cover the earth as the water covers the sea, and I believe we're a part of it. I believe that we are in a day and a time that's even now that he is called into the earth, and he's calling the body of Christ to come alive. Can you say amen? Oh, boy. This kingdom is like no other kingdom. And you might look out there, you might, you know, how many of you have been on the freeways in California? And you come up over a hill and you look and the traffic has been shut down or whatever, and there's like cars and lights for as long as you can see. It really looks cool at nighttime, but I'll tell you what, it seems, can I just say that? It seems like this kingdom is not overtaking the earth. Can you say amen to that? Sometimes, just by what we see, it seems like this kingdom is not doing what it's doing, what it's supposed to be doing on the earth. It seems that way. But I would say, don't be deceived. This kingdom is growing. And is growing in the hearts of the believers. There should be an expectation in everyone's life today. Look, I'm not looking for revival. I don't know about you guys. You guys can say, hey, I'm looking for revival all you want. But I was telling you, I've told you this, I don't know how many times, I'll tell you again. I was praying around the church and I was saying, Lord, we need revival. Renew. We need revival. God, we need revival. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me at that moment and he said, why are you looking for revival? Why don't you celebrate my arrival? Celebrate who I am in your life and let people see who I am in your life. And then you will see the outgoing of the glory of God in the earth. Yes. Hallelujah. I got all fired up. I said, I got it, Lord. The revival is within me. It's already there. It's already burning, if you say. Can you say amen? I will tell you, I wouldn't be doing this right now if it wasn't for revival in my life. Because I have figured it out. I died. Yeah. It's not about what I want. It's about what he wants. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, come on. Hallelujah. Today we're going to talk about this visible kingdom. And the topic is patience. How many of you love patience? How many of you, who in this house is patient beyond measure? There you go. Come on. There we go. We got a few. Not many. Hallelujah. Wow. Come on, Pastor. I'm just kidding. Praise God. How many of you know that God wants us to... Oh, God. I don't know where that's at. Liz, I'm sorry. God just gave me something. I believe it's Proverbs chapter 13. Sometimes, I don't know. I think it's Proverbs 13, but let me see. I gotta do what I'm sensing. Can you say amen? I hope you understand what's happening. Some folks don't, and it's okay. It might be in 11. Verse 12. Proverbs 13, verse 12. How many of you have been praying for something and praying for something and praying for something and praying for something and still praying for that thing and praying for that thing. How many of you ever, how many of you are in that position right now? Because I'm going to tell you something. Just keep praying. Can you say amen? Here's what this is what the Lord just gave me. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Sometimes it feels like your heart within you, but it says here, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, that what you've been praying for, when it comes, it doesn't say if it comes, does it? It says when it comes. But when it comes, it is a what? It's a tree of life. You talk about revival happening when it happens. Can you say amen to that? I believe this is what God is speaking this to somebody this morning. Keep praying. Keep praying. And that's what, you know, we're talking about patience with. But I'm not so much, you know, we talked last week or a few weeks ago about self-control. How many of you get a little out of control when your patience runs thin? Is that anybody? Like, come on, man. Some of you don't want to even say, but I will tell you what. Rosie and I have caught ourselves at that. We were just talking about the other day. We sit behind somebody at a turn lane. The light turns green. The arrow goes green. And there's five or six cars. And we're going, come on, come on, come on. Both of us. Come on, come on, come on. And, you know, and we get a little out of sort. You know what that's showing us? A big degree of impatience. Is that right? But I'm just not talking about impatience with people, because that can be under self-control. Is that okay? We talked about self-control. God wants us to control ourselves. But what he desires is this patience on waiting for him. Are you patient waiting for God? Or are you making decisions based on a timeline that you're living in, where God is, says, I'm a whole different timeline than yours? Are you making your decisions on a timeline? Because God, my car payment is done. What am I going to do? I'm going to have to run out and borrow money, or I'm going to have to go do this, or I'm going to have to do that. Do you not know that God knows all about you? Do you not realize? I'll tell you what, there's a lot of Christians that will say, well, I prayed and this is what I decided to do. Oh, you decided to do it. Why don't you just wait on God? Can you say amen to that? Yeah. Folks do a lot of things and say a lot of things. Come on, talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. It really is. But are you seeking God? Are you waiting for him? Have you decided in your heart, I will not move until he moves? Have you decided that? Because if you will decide to not move, you'll see him move. Because that's his promise to you. And he'll never let you down. He'll never let your car payment go beyond. Come on, man. It's patience. You have need of patience. I'm giving. Woo, hallelujah. Let's go to Luke chapter 18, starting at verse 1. This is a parable. It really is. And how many of you know that when Jesus tells a parable, Jesus can't lie. He's not making up a story. He's telling a story. But even though he's telling it, we call it a parable, yet it's loaded with truth. Can you say amen? Yeah. Jesus cannot lie. He is the truth. So whenever he tells a parable, it's true. Can you say amen? Let me go. Luke chapter 18, starting at verse 1, the word of God says here, it says, and he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Can you say amen? All right, the leading into this parable is this, that you ought to pray always. Is that okay? And don't faint in your prayers. Don't release because of a timeline that you might be in. So I'm going to read that again. He spoke a parable to them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor do I regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. What was wrong with him? This lady was getting on his nerves, is that right? She's coming to him and asking, come, avenge me of my adversary. Yeah, okay, whatever. Yeah, okay, but he wasn't doing it. But he says, I've got to do it. I'm tired of it. Is that okay? Can I tell you that somebody continues? How many ever watched that? There's a mom laying on a couch and there's a little boy right next to him going, Mom, Mom. Anybody seen that? Mom, Mom. That would drive me crazy. She's laying on the couch. I said, I ain't going to answer him. Mom, 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 you know. Hey, can I tell you that God tells us to ask? Is that right? I've had people tell me, well, you ask once and then from then on you believe. Now, if you believe, you ask. And then, hey, whatever, however times you feel in your heart you need to ask, you go ahead and ask again. It doesn't deplete faith if you ask again. People will tell you that. They'll tell you, well, if you're asking again, that means that you don't believe that God's going to do it. Come on. It says here that ought to always pray and not to faint in your prayers. Is that okay? Come on. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust says. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night to him, though he bear long with them? Do you see that word, bear long? God is a God of what he said, what in the scriptures call him, a God of long suffering. How many long suffering? How many like that long suffering? Nah, not much. But we have to understand that God, in him, who he is, he's long suffering. Even though this planted today, this planted, if I would have been God, I would have wiped it out already and created and allowed the kingdom just to take off. Can you say amen to that? I would say, man, look at all these folks. I'm tired of doing it. I'm tired of seeing everything and tired of watching them curse God, tired of watching them do everything but serve God. If I was God, I'd say, well, okay, you're done. But God is long-suffering. He allows it to go so that some might be saved. Can you say amen? Because God desires people in his kingdom. He desires his children that he created to be in his kingdom. Can you say amen to that? I mean, that's what he desires. So he would go to the long lengths, and it's been long, hasn't it? What year are we? 2025. I heard people say we were going to be done with this by 2010. That God, Jesus was coming back. I really believe the key is the church. The key is the church and the kingdom of God on earth. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is heaven. There's a key there. The church needs to... The kingdom of God needs to explode in you. Can I just say, it's not church, it's the kingdom. It's not so much the church, because sometimes I say church and people think of, well, this church or that church or whatever church. No, it's the kingdom. It's all those that love God in wherever they're at. That kingdom right there. I believe it's the trigger that explodes in the earth and calls heaven calls heaven to the earth. Can you say amen to that? No matter how long those car lines are, there's men and women and there's people in the earth that should be calling on heaven, pulling on heaven, pulling on heaven, pulling on heaven, and not be weary of pulling on heaven. Can you say amen to that? Are you someone that's like that, or are you just la-di-da? I'll just pray once in a while. Come on, man. God is serious about his kingdom. We should be serious about his kingdom. Woo. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? I'm going to say, yeah, you'll find it right here, God. I believe you. I believe God. I don't try. I, whatever the Holy Spirit speaks into my heart, I'll say it. It might sound crazy, might sound weird, but that's okay. If he's placed it in my heart, given me plenty of counselors on it. You know, the Word of God tells us by the multitude of counselors, anything is established. Is that right? By the multitude of counselors, there's safety. How many of you say amen to that? So a lot of people think, well, I've got to go ask this person and that person. And that's not the counselor he's talking about. The counselor he's talking about, the counselors that David said, your word, God, is my counselor. The counsel of the word that comes to you through the word of God, when he shows you something, he will build a case for it so that you will be implanted in that word. If you say, can you say amen to that? That's how you know. That's how the foundation gets built below you. You know that you know that you know. This is what God's word says. So that whenever somebody says something that's contrary to that, you say, okay, that's all right. I'll have patience with you. Is that all right? Because God will reveal these things to you. I believe. See, these aren't things that I'm trying to make up, that I'm trying to. These are things that he's given me, and it really doesn't faze me if anybody doesn't believe it. I don't care. Because if you'll take it and look at it and ask God, very possible, he'll show you. Your heart has to be hungry for him. Can you say amen to that? There is a hunger and a fire that God looks for in the life of the believer. Not just to travel along, but a hunger and a fire that says, God, I want to know what you want. I want to know what you're doing. I want to know, God. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, will there be faith on the earth? Proverbs chapter 3:5 says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Trust. I know the rest of it, but I just want to look at this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. What about when you're going through a long suffering, or when God is calling for you to be patient when you've asked for something and you haven't seen it? He wants you to trust him. He desires that your trust, that your faith falls on him, and that's it. No matter what you see, is that okay? Trust him with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Galatians 6:9 says this. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Is that right? If you're praying, be patient with God. Because God is doing something for you. You might not realize it, but that being patient is being, it's doing something on the inside of you. If you're focused, say, I know God will answer this. I know. We're talking about how the know of God is so important to us. How many of you like God to tell you no? I don't see one hand. But can I tell you that the no is probably the place where you get the most blessing out of. Do you know that? You see, there are millions of trees in the garden, but there was one tree that God said, no, you cannot eat of that tree. No. See, the no of God was on that tree. And what would have blessed Adam more than all the trees of the garden if he would have kept the no? I'm not going to touch it. It's called obedience and love for the King of Kings, the Lord, and the God that created him. Now he's got all the blessings of the garden because he has held on to the no. The no to us is important. Do you see what I'm saying? No. No. I'm not crazy about when God tells me no. But in my heart, I say, there's a reason. He knows what he's doing. Hallelujah. I trust him. I trust him with all my heart, and I try not to lean on my own understanding. How many, I don't know about you guys, how many, when things aren't going, we try to start figuring it out. Well, maybe I'm not doing this, or maybe I need to do this. Maybe I did something wrong. I was telling something to my neighbor, and it hadn't rained. How many know that we've had kind of a chinchy, yeah, I guess a chinchy monsoon, anyway, this, and I was telling the neighbor, I said, man, I said, bro, what'd you do wrong? God's upset with us, so he's not going to rain on us, man. You know, and I've got to realize that my heart needs to trust him at all times, no matter what. Can you say amen? Praise God. Let us not be weary in all in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we don't faint. Don't let go. Just keep doing right. Doing good. Can you say amen? I will tell you, praying and waiting on God is a good thing. Is that right? I want to take you to Isaiah chapter 40. I hope you're writing some of these down, because I believe that these are important to us in exposing the kingdom, the invisible kingdom in a visible world, and walking in these things so that they can be visibly seen by those that don't know him and will cause them to come to the tree of life. Because the fruits are being shown. Isaiah chapter 40, starting at verse 27. And this, man, I was going to start at 28, but this one just jumped at me, and it smacked me around, threw me on the ground. I had to get up and say, okay, I'll write it. I'll put it in. It says, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Oh, I'm going to stop with that. I just want to do 27. He says, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord? Sometimes we feel, will you be honest and say, sometimes I wonder if God's hearing what I'm asking for? Anybody? I said, God, did you hear that? God, we need a parking lot paved. Come on. God, where is it? Can you say amen? How many of you know, you look out there, you see that carport, that parking lot? Say, man. It looks like the one that's worn out in the whole city. It's not, there's no striping on it. We're losing the rocks. Is that right? And I'm saying, Lord, what's going on? But I know I've got to be patient. I know I got to be patient. I know I've got to trust him. I know it. So that's what I do. I come in the parking lot, close my eyes. Nice parking lot. God. Praise God. But he says, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord. My judgment is passed over from my God. I want you to see this in the NIV, if you will. It says this in Pastor John's version. Why then, O Jacob's tribes, would you ever complain? And my chosen Israel, why would you say... Oh, this is the TPT, I'm sorry, but that's okay. He says, why would you say Yahweh isn't paying attention to my situation? He has lost all interest in what happens to me. Why would you say that? Can we go? Is the NIV in there? Yeah? I'll go ahead and say what the NIV says this. And the NIV says, why would you say my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. See, sometimes we feel that way. Is that correct? Oh. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes we don't. I mean, but see, the patience that we need with God is very valuable to us. Let it be valuable, okay? So Liz, can you take back to the King James, where starting at verse 28 in the King James. Right there, it was there. Go back one. Have you not known? Look at your neighbor, say, have you not known? And look at your neighbor on the other side, say, have you not heard? I love this scripture. Next verse. That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth, does not faint, neither is he weary. He don't get tired. How many know that God don't get tired? How many know that God is, how many know that 6 days it took him to make everything. And right now he's in rest. Can you say amen to that? So he's not going to get tired. He's not going to get tired of you going to him. He's not going to get weary because you go to him. He doesn't get tired. The creator of the earth, he does not faint, neither is he weary. There's no searching of his understanding. You can't figure him out. You can try. He wants to show you things, but you can't figure him out. Can you say amen? He's God. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Do you see that? How many of you say, Matt, I could use an increase of strength right now? I want it. You got to tell him. You got to go after it. You got to say, God, I want that increase. I want strength in my... Do you know that Psalm 68:28 says this? God has commanded your strength. Just like he commanded the stars, he commanded the planets, he commanded light be. He commands your strength. He wants you strong. Do you know that? He wants you strong. Ha! Woo! That's the end of the sermon right there, bro. No, he wants you strong. Thy God has commanded thy strength. Strengthen, O God, that which you have wrought for us. You won't find that in any other translations. That's the only, the King James is the only one that's got it. Sorry, Johnny.
Sorry about that.
Hallelujah. Come on, man. Can you go back? Why sayest thou? Next one. Have you not known? Have you not heard? It's there. He does not faint, neither is he weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power, listen, to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. Is that right? The young people. How many young people are in here? Raise your hand, everybody. Come on. How many young people are in here? Maybe nobody's listening. Raise your hand if you're young. Raise it up. Raise it up. Raise it up. Can I get it? Ernie, raise your hand. Yeah, thank you, Ernie. Come on, man. Listen, let me tell you. No, both hands. That a boy. Just listen to this. Listen to this. Methuselah was 960. Was it what? 969. 969 years old. He could say, I'm an old man. But I don't think there's anybody in here over 92. Is that right? You're young. You are young. You have youth upon you. You have the dew of your youth upon you. That's right. Because the dew of your youth is strength. And it comes from the Lord. But even the youths shall stumble. Is that what it says? Even the youth shall faint and be weary. And the young man shall utterly fall. But look, so see, he's talking about young people and everything. But see, here we go. It says, but they that wait on the Lord. Is that right? This is a beautiful scripture. They that wait on the Lord, they shall renew their what? Come on, man. Where do you get strength then? Waiting on the Lord.
Yes.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Yes. Yes.
And in thy presence is fullness of joy. So if you're going to go after the joy, you get the joy, and then you get the strength rolls in on it. Can you say amen to that?
Yes.
Because that's how God is. He says, if you wait on me, I will strengthen you.
Yes.
I will pour into you strength that you didn't know you had. Come on, man. And then he says, they will mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Brother Steve, they'll run.
Yes.
You got that? Both hands, bro. You will run, bro. We go through a lot of stuff, guys. How many say amen to that? Trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Yes.
Be patient with him. Ask and it shall be given to you. Is that right?
Right.
He doesn't say ask and it might be given to you. He says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek, you'll find. Knock, it'll be open to you. But wait upon him. You got to wait on him. These things come because your heart is calling to the Lord. Your hunger is saying, God, fill me with your life. And you watch what happens. Whew. Can't stop the kingdom. Can't stop it. I'm going to talk about patience a little more. Hebrews 10:36. You have need of patience. Is that right? Everybody, look at your neighbor and say, I need patience. Look at the one on the other side, say, I need patience with you. Yeah, come on, man. I need patience. That after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Is that right? What's that will he's talking about? You know what the will of God? That you believe him. Yeah. Believe who he sent. Believe what he did for you. So that you might receive the promise. How many of you are ready to receive promises like you've never seen before? Hallelujah, Jesus. We should be the most blessed people on this planet because we know who he is. Because we know that he wants to do things for us. We know that he wants to provide for us. We know that he does that. We should be, the church should be the best. All those people making all those things in Vegas and all, you've seen some of that stuff that they do. It's really incredible. We should be twice that. Our focus needs to be on the King. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2:10 says this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk. Is that cool? You're his workmanship. You are his work on the earth. Let him do his work. Follow him. James chapter 1, 2 through 4. Now here we go. Here we go. We need to see these things and understand these and allow them to flow through us. It says, my brethren, brothers and sisters, y'all Green Valley people, where Tucson people, whoever you are, I don't care who you are. Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into different temptations. Is that okay? Knowing this, you got to know this. Know it with your own. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. What are we talking about today? Patience. The trying of your faith works patience. See, we're not really talking about self-control. We're talking about the work of patience in your life that you have towards God. Being patient for him. Is that okay? Knowing that the trying of your faith works patience. And he says, but let patience have her perfect work so that you might be what? Perfect and entire, lacking nothing. How many of you are perfect in here? If you know Jesus, your hand should go up. Because you died, Jesus is in you. So that you got to say, man, I'm perfect because Christ is in me. I just got some stuff to learn. Is that okay? Is that all right? Don't go around telling everybody you're perfect. That's not going to work. Can I just say, isn't that right, Johnny? Yeah. But there needs to be an understanding in your heart saying, look, he came into my life. I gave my life to him. I died. And he came within me. And now perfection is dwelling in me. It will take you to places if you understand your identity in Christ. The identity that he's given you. And this is what he wants to do. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking not a thing. Can you say amen to that? What do you need, bro? I don't need nothing. I just need Jesus. What do you want in your life, Jesus? Yeah. Because I know that when I allow Christ to do what he wants with my life will change and it will cause his purpose, his plan, and his will to begin to flow out from me. It's a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. Purpose. Here we got another one. It's Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. We're talking about the work of patience. It says, not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Here we go again, right? When things are happening to you, the Bible says to glory in them, knowing that tribulation works, what? Patience. James said that patience have a perfect work, that you might be perfect in attire. And then he says, patience, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience works experience, and experience works hope. Okay, we'll stop right there. Patience works experience. How many, when you want somebody to, let's say, remodel your kitchen, do you want just anybody, or do you want somebody with experience? Huh?
Experience.
Yeah, thank you. Experience. Well, I don't care. Just remodel any way you want it. Yeah. How about when they work on your car? You want somebody that's just learning? You want them to know what they're doing, or do you want somebody with experience? You want experience. You see, as you grow in Christ, you begin, as you wait patiently for him, you begin to grow in experience. You begin to understand that he takes care of me every time, no matter. He's taken care of me all these years. He's done it for me. I might not like the way he did it, but I came through, and man, I've got a testimony about it. Can you say amen?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
See, it works experience. Some people listen to kids, people that have no experience in the things of God, and they'll listen to them, and they'll take on that idea, and it takes them nowhere. People that don't believe in the Holy Ghost, that there's a lot of preachers out there that say that the Holy Spirit is something that died a long time ago with the apostles, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They say things like that. They don't understand, hallelujah, that there is an experience to have with the Holy Ghost, and that experience brings you into experience after experience after experience. And it builds you so that when you go after God and things aren't happening like you think they should happen, experience talks to you and says, be patient. God is working on your behalf. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Glory to God. Experience. And talk about your soul. How many know what your soul is? Your soul is, you know, when you, this might sound a little weird, but when you get saved, when you get born again, your spirit gets born again. Your spirit within you gets turned on. Blink. Jesus is Lord. But I will tell you, your soul is going to give you problems. Can you say amen to that? You might want to go do stuff that you used to do, but your spirit is saying, no, you can't do that. And your soul is saying, I want to do it. Your soul is basically your mind, your will, and your emotions or your feelings. Your mind and your will and your feelings. Is that okay? Your mind, your will, your emotions. Is that okay? The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, did I put this down? Romans chapter 12, the Bible says that we are to offer ourselves as a sacrifice to God. Is that okay? A living sacrifice. What's it talking about? A living sacrifice, yeah. Kind of goes along with I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. You understand that? But it's not I that lives, it's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for me. So he says, offer yourself as a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable unto God. What does holy mean? It's not the H-O-L-Y, it's the W-H-O-L. Holy, all of you. We give ourselves to the Lord and we go, oh, you can have this part or you can have that part. But I want to hold on to this. And God says, give it to it. Holy. That's you. That's not me. Can you understand what I'm saying to you? It is the decision we make that we say, hey, I died. And my life is now led by God in his life. Is that okay? Is that all right? Listen, this is really cool. So it's your soul, it's your mind, your will, and your emotions that desire to have or do things that needs to be changed. Your mindset needs to be changed. It says in the very next verse after that, Romans 12:1, it says 12:2, it says, Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what?
Mind.
Your mind. You see, God, when you're born again, your soul still needs to get some of it. Is that right? As a matter of fact, it really doesn't understand what's happening. All you know is I'm new, and I don't know how it's working, but things are changing. Can you say amen? And it's the Spirit of God that begins to renew your mind. You look at the Word of God, things begin to get renewed. And if you know, people have told me before, you're brainwashed, bro. I said, yeah, I am. My mind has been washed. It's been cleansed by the rivers of life, the Word of God. It's something that God has. It's taken a while. I used to try to do what I, but now God has showed me that that's not for me. Praise God. So your soul wants to do what it wants to do. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. I want you to look at this. Whereby we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, manifold trials. How many ever had manifold trials? Can I tell you, sometimes they come at you like 5 or 6, 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 all at once. And you're, God, what's going on? I mean, have you ever said that to God? God, what are you doing? What's going on? He says, because I'll tell you, manifold trials, if it was just one at a time, it might be a little easier, but God knows that if you bring something into your life, certain things will pop up. And then if he brings another thing into your life, these things will get stirred up. Can you say amen to that? And it will begin to eat away at the patience that you had trying to have for the Lord. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? Because I understand this very clearly, that these things that happens to us can begin to eat away the trust in the Lord, the patience to wait for God. It can begin to push away. And before you know it, you're not reading your Bible. Before you know it, you're not even asking for things anymore. Because you think God has disregarded your request. You think that he has put you aside. And it's not that way at all. He is building you and strengthening you with patience. Let patience have its perfect work. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes. Can you say amen? It's better than gold. Though it be tried with fire, that it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom you though you in whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. And then it says this: receiving the end of your faith. What's that? Even the salvation of your soul. You see, these things are happening to transform your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. You're receiving at the end, receiving these things. And a lot of people will say, well, that's when I die. No, it's not. It's right now. Whenever you're going through things, he's building you and strengthening you with patience. Your end result is your soul becomes transformed. Let me just see if I think. See, it's the Spirit of God that comes in within us. Can you say amen to that? Spirit of God comes in us. It says, by his stripes we've been healed. your soul goes, well, yeah, okay. Okay. But I still got a bump on my forehead. How's that? Still got a bump on my forehead. Okay. So you look at the bump on your forehead. You ask, by his stripes I've been healed. The bump's still there. By his stripes I've been healed. Well, the bump's still there. And you keep looking and you're looking. You see, it takes the Spirit of God to transform your soul. When your soul begins to take these things and, you know, the Word of God says that he takes his word and he writes it deep in your heart. Can you say amen to that? He writes it on your heart, his word. And he writes it on your heart so that when it's in your heart, now when you look in the mirror, that bump don't look so big. Can you say amen to that? That bump's got to go. I don't know why you're still looking at me, but that bump's got to go. Draw a happy face on it. Because it's got to go. But you see, it takes the word of God to transform the soul. When the soul is transformed, listen, you got to get this. Now the soul begins to speak what the word is hearing. Now you have an agreement. And the body has no other choice but to heal. How many of you know your body wants to heal already?
Yes.
How many know that? It's the way God fashions it. It's in a miracle the way the body wants to heal itself. But get the Word of God involved, and this thing, the connection where your body begins to respond to God's Word, because there is no doubt, there is no dark places of identity loss within you. And you take on the DNA of the King. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
That DNA. I like the word DNA because I got something I call it. It's the divine nature attributes. I don't believe at all that Jesus ever said. I don't believe he ever got sick. There was a divine nature working within him. Can you say amen to that? And he knew it. He knew who he was. Now your soul is transformed. The word, the Greek word for patience is hupomone. The meaning is cheerful, hopeful endurance. That's it. That's the meaning right there. And then the words that translate out of hupomone are constancy, enduring, patience, patient, continuance, waiting. But it says cheerful, hopeful endurance. Patience is a cheerful, hopeful endurance. If you lose the cheerfulness out of it, it's not working well. Or if you lose the hopefulness, can I tell you, God is saying to you, yeah, I heard you. It's just not time. Is that okay? Is that all right? Can you trust him enough to say, well, he knows when it's going to happen? Can you say amen to that? You might not. The reason I say this is because of my granddaughter. I know that he is healed. I know diabetes has no place in the kingdom. I know it. Is that right, Betty? I know it.
Amen.
I know it. So I'm patiently waiting. I'm enduring with cheerful, very much hopeful. And you know what hope is? El piso. That's the Greek word for it. You know, el piso. Gino, where you at? What does el piso mean?
The floor.
Isn't that funny? Hope.
Yeah.
It's a place to stand right there, bro. I'm hoping. I am hoping. And it is a cheerful hope. It's not one of them, well, I hope so. Is God going to heal me? I hope so. Come on, man. Is God going to heal you?
Yes.
I hope so.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
I know He is.
Woo!
I know He is. I am designed by a mighty Creator to endure these things. Because I am an eternal being.
Yes.
Do you know that?
Amen.
You're already in eternity.
Amen.
When you got saved. Whew. Nothing by any means can hurt you. Doesn't feel good. But it will not. At the end, it will not hurt you. It is strengthening you. Whew, you got to know that. Luke chapter 21, verse 19, this is where Jesus says this. It's kind of a crazy statement that he makes. He makes it right in the middle of, when you read this, it just pops out right in the middle of a thing that he's saying. He says, in your patience, you possess your souls. You see that? This is where God wants you. He wants you to possess that mind, will, and motion by the Spirit of God. He says, in your patience, that soul will be possessed by you. Why? Because it's gone through some stuff. It's learned some stuff. Can you say amen to that? How many are looking forward to learning stuff? You know, you've had people say, I've heard people say, don't ever ask for patience, right? How come? Because of tribulation. You see? But we got it wrong when we think about it, because God says, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Say, God, bring it on. Hallelujah. You say, yeah, because I trust Him. Because I know it's good for me. Hallelujah. You see, He's building a mighty kingdom. It is a kingdom that will overwhelm the world. It will overwhelm this world. It's been given to us. Such a hopeful, joyous, amen? Psalm 119, 109 says this, my soul is continually in my hand. Do you see that? See, here you go. People say, well, God has given us a choice. Whenever I hear that statement, I say, man, I wish you'd know God better when you say something like that. Because God doesn't really give you a choice. He tells you, I put before you life and death. He doesn't say, okay, choose one. He doesn't say that. He says, choose life. He tells us, because He's like a good father, He will tell us what to do. What to choose. Choose. You in your life, you make choices, yes. But God is trying to get you to see that if you will be patient, if you'll wait on me, is what He says. Can I tell you, He knows when the rent is due? Does He or does He not? Does He know? You know, He knows when your car's broke. Is that right? Like Rosie's truck is broke. I gotta let her use my truck. So I'm in tribulation. God says, you gotta be patient. Yeah, be patient, God. I'll be patient, God. With joy. Come on. Take the truck, please. She's so sweet. She brings it back. She goes, I took it and I got it washed. Hey, good girl. Come on, man. Joyful? Joyful. We adore Him. Can you say amen to that?
Yes.
My soul is continuing in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. I like that because you can make choices. But He says, I don't forget your law. This is David. This is what David said. My soul is continually in my hand, yet I don't forget your law. In other words, I'm allowing your law, because I don't forget your law. I'm going to let your law allow me to make the right choices. I don't forget that. But see, we're not in the law of Moses anymore. Can you say amen to that? You know where we're at? We're in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's the law we're in now. Some people say, oh, no, we're not under the law. The law died with my... Shut up. The law, we are in a new law. This is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Do you get that? And that law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, tells us to make choices to choose life. Choose life. Choose life. Choose my Father's will over your will. That's life. Can you say amen to that? Come on, hallelujah. Psalm 40, verse 1 says this. I waited patiently for the Lord. See that word, waited patiently? I will tell you that that is what God is looking at. They're serious about what they're asking. That's my child. They're very serious. They are waiting, and they're patient in their waiting. The Word of God says that He will. You know what Jesus told them? He will. Here it says, I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. He'll go after it. Can you say amen? Learn that patience is more than just being under control. It is something that dwells within you. It is. Do you know that patience is one of the fruit of the Spirit? Do you know that? So allow it. Allow it to not just, not that you're in control, you don't say nothing when you shouldn't say nothing, but allow that patience to rise up in you and cause you to wait on God. I'm talking to a lady one time. She goes, I just say what I please. If that's what I'm thinking, that's what I said. That's a very dangerous place to be. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. Most women do that. I'm just kidding. That's a dangerous place to stay. No, but I tell you, if we would wait, if we would, before we open our mouth, if we would speak what God gives us to speak, He'll see that you do that. And what He'll begin to do is He'll begin to pour words through you into those people out there that don't know Him. And He'll, because of that open gate that you've created by waiting for Him, He will begin to speak into the lives of those that are out there. And it will cause them to come to the tree of life. It will, it will, it will. Hallelujah. Glorious day. Glorious day. The invisible needs to be seen, folks. Come on. Will you stand? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for your word. Father, thank you for what you're doing today. God, I ask you, Lord. Yes, we've heard. Yes, we've known, Lord, that you never tire of us and you don't get weary. But Lord, as we wait on you, you will renew our strength. The blessing of your strength will flow within us, causing us, Father God, to shine with your glory, that the world might know you, that you might be seen in the earth, Father, as your children, Father. We ask you, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Praise God. If you feel like waiting a little.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.